This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, how are you?
I'm good, and you? I don't know about Bibi starting a band. I mean, last year we had him doing yoga with Narendra Modi, the president of India. I just, you know, that was enough. I don't think we're racing for him to start a band just yet.
I don't know. We're just thinking, you know, Bibi in the Balkans. It sounds like a band name.
It does sound like a band name or the title of a documentary or something that could be on Netflix. But Prime Minister Netanyahu is the first international leader outside of several countries to participate in the Balkan Craiova summit. And he's being very smart, Prime Minister Netanyahu. This summit is a summit that includes Balkan countries such as Bosnia, Bulgaria, and Croatia, and he's being very, very sneaky, because what he's doing, Kath, because it's all part of a larger plan, is he's attending these kind of EU enclave meetings. You know, last year he took part in the three Baltic state meeting, which was Hungary, Vilnius, and Lithuania. He's also been to the Visegrad country, Hungary again, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. He's formed an alliance with Greece and Cyprus. So what he's doing, very, very similar to what he did in Africa, was he's going in a roundabout way, forming these alliances, which he's hoping will have a big effect at the EU Parliament, which is in Brussels. You know, it's no secret how the EU Parliament treats the state of Israel. The state of Israel is often under tremendous criticism. The financing of terror organizations, NGOs that are supportive of BDS, a lot of that comes from the EU. So Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to chip away at that anti-Israel sentiment by befriending countries, and hopefully en masse will change the voting power at the EU Parliament.
Very interesting. I see that Qatar is bringing in support for 50,000 Gazan families. You know what? I've often wondered why, you know, the Arab bloc countries haven't been more supportive.
And I'm talking before we get to Qatar, there is a very, very important bit of breaking news. And that is that RDF troops have surrounded the home of the suspected Balkan terrorist, 23-year-old Ashraf Na'aloa, who, along with his family, have been evacuated, his family have been arrested, but we haven't heard whether or not our security forces have actually caught him. It's not confirmed if he is in the house, but what we do know is troops have surrounded his house, they have gone in, and they are there with armored military jeeps and at least one bulldozer. The military are not commenting on the activity of the RDF. They're not commenting whether or not he is inside the house. But what we do know is his family have been removed. Members of his family have been arrested in the last couple of weeks, and the RDF is there. This is a developing story, and we will continue to watch it. But you wanted to talk Qatar. So let's talk Qatar, and let's talk why hasn't the Arab bloc done more to help people in Gaza? And there's a lot of debate around this. You know, some schools of thought thinking that it serves the agenda of some countries to keep Palestinians in a perpetual state of victimhood. We see this happening in Lebanon and in Jordan, where Palestinians are treated as second-class citizens. They cannot own property. They cannot work in certain professions. It's often debated, does this serve the Palestinians or does this serve somebody else's agenda? And now Qatar, who does give asylum or harbor Hamas leaders, has announced that it will provide temporary support to 50,000 impoverished Gaza families. And what they intend to do is provide these families with $100 each within the next few days. But there's a catch, Kathy Simon, as there almost always is,
yeah.
And that is that Hamas will decide who the beneficiaries are in coordination with Qatar. So, you know, the cynic in me that knows of Hamas's way of operating only too well wonders how many of these really impoverished families will get that $100, or is it going to go to Hamas supporters?
Rolene, I am so perplexed as to where Qatar actually stands in this whole issue. One minute they're doing this, the next minute they're entertaining delegations of high-profile American Jews. Help me understand, what's the strategy?
Well, I think what we're looking at is Hamas definitely trying to seem more moderate, to try and seem a little bit more Western. We've seen them change the language of their charter ever so slightly. I think Qatar's dog in the race is as follows. First of all, the Arab states have isolated them because of their allegiance to Iran. So Arab states are having sanctions against the Qataris because of their support for Iran. On the other hand, there is the internecine fighting between Fatah and Hamas. And Qatar are going to want to bolster Hamas and any influence Hamas has on Gaza. The Palestinian Authority are seen as the more legitimate of the two organizations in terms of negotiation, in terms of recognition by the West. So I think this is a Qatari attempt of balancing the power. I don't necessarily think that it is terribly altruistic in their motives. I think this is more of a power play in this region.
Interesting. Interesting. Talk to us about Brazil and the move of the embassy to Jerusalem.
Okay, so very exciting last week. The new president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, announced that not only is he going to expel the Palestinian ambassador from Brazil, but he's going to move the Brazilian embassy to Jerusalem, and everybody went crazy. He has now taken a giant step back, and he's hesitating. And why is he hesitating? Because he has been made very, very aware of the trading power between Brazil and Israel and Brazil and the Arab world, and what a potential move to Jerusalem would mean for relations between Brazil, whose economy is really struggling, and the Arab world. Also, we have to take into consideration the enormous what they call expat Palestinian community that lives in South America, Chile being the country with the largest. Now, speaking to Brazilian Jews this week, a lot of them are concerned. On the one hand, they have a president who is seemingly very pro-Israel. On the other hand, he is seen as a demagogue, somebody who is totalitarian, somebody who is discriminatory against other minority communities, and a great concern from them that this could result in blowback against the Jewish community. They say, you know, they don't know who's better for them, the previous president who was anti-Israel or this president who seems to be pro-Israel but really could inadvertently bring a lot of anti-Semitism and possibly violence on Brazil's Jewish community. So the excuse that Bolsonaro has said is that for him it's a scheduling problem. Isn't it amazing? Whenever there's a problem, it's a scheduling problem. But he says that it is something that is up for discussion. But right now, it's an issue of scheduling. We know that there are other issues in place, such as Brazil being the largest or exporter of halal meat to the Arab world. So this one is an interesting one to watch. A lot of concerns within Brazil's very, very Zionist Jewish community about what Bolsonaro could mean for them.
Very interesting. Rolene, that is where we leave it, and look very forward to catching up with you tomorrow as you give us your commentary on the world.
Same time, same place tomorrow. I don't know about forming any bands overnight. But
thanks,
we'll watch this space. We'll let you know what our Prime Minister is up to.
Awesome. Thank you so much.